Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, turn our dial up, turn our dial up, turn our dial up. It's coming on, it's coming on.
10 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 10 o'clock on the radio. 10 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 10 o'clock on the radio.
Radio Talk 101.3 with your host Bismarck, with your host Bismarck. Radio Talk 101.3 with your host Bismarck, with your host Bismarck.
Let's talk. Let's talk.
Radio Talk 101.3 with your host Bismarck, with your host Bismarck. Radio Talk 101.3 with your host Bismarck, with your host Bismarck.
10 o'clock, 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock on the radio. 10 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 10 o'clock on the radio.
Radio Talk 101.3 with your host Bismarck, with your host Bismarck. Radio Talk 101.3 with your host Bismarck, with your host Bismarck.
Let's talk. Let's talk. Let's talk. Let's talk. Let's talk. Let's talk. Let's talk, let's talk.
Yeah, this is Bismarck right here on Radio Talk 101.3. And you're listening to the program, Let's Talk. Tonight we're focusing on our Africa. The program is focused on Africa. So keep that dial tuned in, because it's Friday night, TGIF. And also, it's Christmas Eve. Hey, Merry Christmas out there to everyone. Let's have a blessed Friday evening. Keep that dial tuned in. It's Bismarck right here on your radio.
Radio Talk 101.3 with your host Bismarck, with your host Bismarck.
Yeah.
Radio Talk 101.3 with your host Bismarck, with your host Bismarck. 10 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 10 o'clock on the radio. 10 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 10 o'clock on the radio.
Radio Talk 101.3 with your host Bismarck, with your host Bismarck. Radio Talk 101.3 with your host Bismarck, with your host Bismarck.
10 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 10 o'clock on the radio. 10 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 10 o'clock on the radio.
Radio Talk 101.3 with your host Bismarck, with your host Bismarck. Radio Talk 101.3 with your host Bismarck, with your host Bismarck. Radio Talk 101.3 with your host Bismarck, with your host Bismarck. Radio Talk 101.3 with your host Bismarck, with your host Bismarck. Radio Talk 101.3 with your host Bismarck, with your host Bismarck. Radio Talk 101.3 with your host Bismarck, with your host Bismarck. Radio Talk 101.3 with your host Bismarck, with your host Bismarck. Radio Talk 101.3 with your host Bismarck, with your host Bismarck.
Yeah, you're listening to the program Let's Talk, focus on Africa tonight. And I'm your host Bismarck right here on the program Let's Talk. You're listening to the station Radio Talk 101.3. And we've got a great show for you tonight. It's Christmas Eve and it's Friday night, TGIF. Yeah. I want to say a happy birthday to Jesus. It's his birthday. It's Christmas Eve, so let's celebrate his birthday. You know, I'm looking at the star on the Christmas tree, and it looks so beautiful. It's Bismarck right here on your radio, Radio Talk 101.3. Let's get into some international news tonight, focusing on Africa. West African bloc threatens Babel. West African regional bloc, ECOWAS, tells Ivory Coast incumbent Laurent Gbagbo to stand down or expect to face force. Deadly blast in central Nigeria. At least 5 people are killed in an explosion near Nigeria's central city of Jos, the scene of deadly sectarian clashes this year. Protesters dies in Tunisia clashes. A protester in Tunisia is shot dead and several others are hurt as security forces open fire during violent clashes, officials say. Angola grounds Boeing 777 planes. The Angolan National Airline grounds its fleet of three Boeing 777 aircraft after one of the planes was forced to make an emergency landing. Iranian granted bail in Nigeria. A court in Nigeria grants bail to an Iranian man charged with arms trafficking after an illegal shipment of weapons were intercepted in October. African sports. Mamadé Sidibé eyes January return. Mali and Stoke City striker Mamadé Sidibé hopes to be back in action in January. What are Africa's 2010 highlights? Let us know whether 2010 was a memorable year for you, others on the continent. Pfizer denies Nigeria dirty tricks. U.S. drugs giant Pfizer denies WikiLeaks claims of dirty tricks in Nigeria. You're listening to Radio Talk 101.3 with your host, Bismarck, and you're listening to the program, Let's Talk. Tonight we're focusing on Africa. So keep that dial tuning because we got the story on the crisis in the Ivory Coast, which is very important now. It's Christmas Eve. Right now, it's Friday, TGIF, it's Christmas Eve, but I just want to interject this very important story about what's going on in the Ivory Coast. ECOWAS bloc threatens Ivory Coast bubble with force. The West African regional bloc, ECOWAS, has told incumbent Ivory Coast President Laurent Gbagbo to stand down or expect to face legitimate force. The statement came at the end of emergency talks on the crisis sparked by a disputed election last month. The 15-member bloc and other international bodies have recognized his rival Alassane Ouattara as winner. The Ivory Coast Constitutional Council says Mr. Gbagbo was elected, citing vote rigging in some areas. The election was meant to unite the country after a civil war in 2002 spilled the world's largest cocoa producer in two. On Thursday, state television, one of key elements keeping Mr. Gbagbo in power, was taken off the air in areas outside Abidjan. But amid the mounting international pressure, the incumbent president remained defiant, declaring illegal a decision by the West African Central Bank to give control of his country's account to Mr. Ouattara. Mr. Gbagbo's spokesman, Ahoy Don Mello, read a communique on TV saying it was illegal and manifestly outside the competence of the West African Monetary Union, and there would be serious consequences. This guy's serious. Earlier, Mr. Quintara urged the country's armed forces to play a Republican role and protect civilians against attack from the militants and foreign mercenaries that are spilling Ivorian blood. He accused Mr. Gbagbo of opening a new chapter in violence. Violence is returning to our towns and our city neighborhoods. Serious human rights violations are reported from all corners, he said, quoted by AFP news agency. He thanked the international community for the support it had given him so far. He said perpetrators of recent violence would be prosecuted and invited investigators from the International Criminal Court to visit the country. The UN says more than 170 people have been killed in the past week in attacks linked to the Ivorian armed forces, who remain publicly loyal to Mr. Gbagbo. No power sharing, ECOWAS said after its summit in Abuja, Nigeria, that it will send an envoy to the country to meet Mr. Gbagbo. It will also convene a meeting of defense ministers to plan military action if he refuses to back down, it said. Before the talks, Nigerian Foreign Minister Oden Ajumogobia ruled out a power-sharing arrangement between the rivals like those set up in Kenya and Zambia following disputed elections. The BBC's Thomas Fessy in the main city, Abidjan, says the pressure from ECOWAS has not come as a surprise and means that Mr. Gbagbo is now definitely boxed in on all sides. The ECOWAS chairman, Nigerian President Goodluck Jonathan, has already written personally to Mr. Gbagbo to ask him to step down and offered him refuge. There have been suggestions that member nations sending troops to strengthen the presence of the UN peacekeeping force, which has about 10,000 troops on the ground. ECOWAS sent peacekeeping forces to Liberia and Sierra Leone during their civil wars in 1990. This is the story from the Ivory Coast, West Africa. And this man is this man is just going crazy. He's thinking he's being defined, but he's asking for his own death. I mean, that's what it looks like to me. You know, the international pressure on Mr. Gbagbo to step down has stepped up a few notches in the last 24 hours. But in the communique read on state television, he remains defiant. If he rejects the final chance offered by West Africa's regional bloc, ECOWAS, to step down peacefully, something described as ultimate gesture by the head of the ECOWAS Commission, James Gbagbo, then he faces a very real risk of military intervention. Army chiefs in the region will be instructed to start planning. This man needs to back down, because those people that he, you know, are with him, you know, they all are going to be in a serious mess. I mean, big ups to the African leaders who step up, you know, and, you know, made him to understand that this kind of action in Africa would not be tolerated anymore. This is what's going on in the world. But, hey, it's Christmas, and let's be joyous, you You know, let's be peaceful, let's be happy, but we cannot forget our brothers and sisters that are going through what they are going through right now. And we, though we celebrating the Lord's birth, but we also pray to Him to bless our brothers and sisters in the Ivory Coast. You know, solve this problem in a peaceful manner. And, you know, get their lives back and live peacefully again in the Ivory Coast. This is Bismarck right here on a Radio Talk 101.3. Hey, what's up? 803, what's up?
Yeah, this is Thomas calling from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Hey, what's going on, man, Thomas?
Merry
Christmas, anyway.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you, too. Yeah, I was listening to the conversation. I'm actually working with an organization here in Charlotte in which we are working on trying to help restore Liberia's economy through agriculture. Because as you probably know, Liberia has an 85% unemployment rate and they import 90% of their foodstuffs. And we're in the process of getting some things going where we're going to be able to potentially do things like, you know, grow sugar there because it's the right climate for it, and they could be a major player in that market because there's a demand for the product. My question is based on what you know on the ground, because I've tried to call over to like the Ministry of Land, Mines, and Energy, impossible to get on the phone. And, you know, based on what happened with the Civil War back in the 80s and, with, Sirleaf, I understand that she was found to be, but basically the tribunal said that, she should not even be fit to be in the office and she actually should be banned from government, if I'm not mistaken. What do you think about the prospects of trying to do something in Liberia? When it seems that, the government is hell-bent on destroying the country by letting other countries come in and bring their own labor and not make it where the people there are getting employment. I mean, she lets Indonesia come in there. They got a 100-year land lease, which I think is about, 70% done with Firestone. I mean, it's like, what is it going to take for the government to make sure that its people can at least, eat, and not be just relegated to subsistence farming? What needs to happen in there for the people and the government to realize that the course that they've been on after the Civil War is leading to a course to nowhere?
Okay. There's a lot going on in Liberia right now, and politically, like I was checking the net today and a couple of days ago, I've seen that, a couple of individuals have, joined the presidential race. And when I mean a couple of individuals, they are coming from a religious background, serving in the ministry. And they are now part of the presidential political platform in Liberia, running for presidency in Liberia. You're talking about unemployment in Liberia, the high rate of unemployment and illiteracy. You're talking about the process of food Liberia being self-sufficient in food products. If you can remember years back before we got into our crisis, Liberia had always been self-sufficient when it came to food, but, during the April 14 riots in Liberia, that was the rice riot. It came out from, the imported rice and the country-grown rice and the prices. But in reference to the Liberian government right now that is being headed by Madam Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, the first female president in Africa, you know, she is doing a very, very good job. I mean, from my point of view now, she has been doing since she got into office. And what puzzled me today when I was, you know, looking at all these new incumbents into the presidential race in Liberia, what puzzled me is that, you know, all these guys, all these knowledgeable gentlemen, all these guys with all these backgrounds, you know, in different areas, where were they before the process of the election? Where were they when this lady, as the first female president of Liberia in Africa, was trying to run this country into a productive new Liberia, providing education, health, power, electric power, water supply again, you know, bringing Liberia back to its growth. I mean, where were they? They all sat back and undermined this lady's government. I don't know why, but it leads me to think that they had an ulterior motive, and that was, you know, for her to feel. But as God would have it, and as she intended to carry on her presidency, you know, let's admit, she's one of the first presidents that really brought about a constructive government, a government with a system of operations, you know. But the problem is that these members of government, these men that are part of government, that are put into this ministerial position to serve, you know, the people, they have been so corrupt, and they are still corrupt. I mean, it seems like the war, like the Liberians went through, there are some Liberians that haven't learned, that didn't learn anything from this war, and they are still doing the same old things. They are still embezzling money and they think that nothing can happen about it. But here's the situation now, that she's trying to, you know, she's kind of sifting the government, you know, weeding out the bad ones, and, you know, trying to lay out the process of prosecuting them, you know, which I think she should do, you know, she should prosecute them, you know. But the problem here is not the president. The problem here is we as Liberians. It's not what Liberia can do for you, it's what you can do for Liberia. You know, are you still there, my brother?
Yes, I am.
Are you understanding me?
No, I'm understanding you. I guess what I'm saying is that, I mean, and like I said, I'm driving right now, so I need to go back and cite my sources, but, and I guess
that's
maybe
cool,
that's cool. The thing is that, you know, she's letting foreign companies come in, and they're not supplying the local population with enough
with jobs. I heard about that also, and, you know, I'll make a reference to when the Chinese first came in. You know, the Chinese, they have majority of the big contracts, you know, government contracts. And let's admit, you know, they are being kind of productive also. But when they came in, they wanted to kind of just bring in their own laborers, you know. And it created a problem amongst the Liberians, and there were some that spoke out, and then the government took action and told the Chinese, hey, I mean, you can bring in the professionals, but, you know, we will provide our own labor, you know, because we have a high rate of unemployment here, so, you know, we're trying to change it. And also there's a provision in government aid that was provided specifically for job creations, you know what I'm saying, and also provided for loan investments, you know, to small business owners, you know, that, you know, would come up with proposals that they see feasible, you know, and sponsor financially to provide jobs in these areas. But here's the problem, my brother. I mean, let's admit this, that, you know, Liberians have been known, you know, not to be entrepreneurs, you know. Liberians have been known not to be businessmen, business owners. With the Liberian before was, the business community was all always ran by the Indians, the Lebanese, you know, and a few Asians, you know. And this is a practice that we have to change. And so be it that our crisis also brought us a blessing, that a lot of the Liberians travel to different countries and have seen different development, you know, in infrastructure, you know, social development, you know, and all of that. And those that are returning to Liberia are implementing these different ideas from different countries, you know, and it's bringing up, I mean, a kind of dynamic growth. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
And like for you, you say you are into agriculture, am I right?
Yes.
That's a very key investment right there. You are into agriculture. You can create a lot of jobs when you go into Liberia and implement your project, you know. And you know, every country, you know, food is very important in every country, you know, to sustain your stability and your independence and all of that. You know, food plays a very important role.
Security issue. Food security.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying, to sustain your stability and all of that. In sustaining your stability, it involves security and all of that. So, I mean, you know, food, the agriculture department is very important. And I would suggest to you that you get in contact with the agriculture department in Liberia. You know, because there's an allocation fund made in the government for those who are interested in agriculture, investors who are interested in agriculture, some sort of government subsidy fund, you know.
Are you from Liberia, by any chance? Are you actually from Liberia?
Yeah, I'm from Liberia.
Okay. No, the reason I'm asking that, because, like I said, this organization that's here in Charlotte, the brother that's running it, his name is Thomas Rogers. He's been going back and forth to Liberia for the past 23 years, ever since the way he did our humanitarian aid. And so, I mean, this brother's already got tractors, he's got coals, he's got, like, you know, the bonded farm equipment, and we're working on a project right now. We're actually doing a trade deal that's going to catapult us to be able to get in there and make some things happen very soon. So this one of the things that's kind of been going on, he's been two things. He's actually bought land, about 220 acres, with frontage not far away from where Robert Johnson has, started his project at that resort. And
yeah,
he also has agreements in writing with some of the indigenous people in the amount of 264,000 acres. Now, here's the thing. Because I went to the Ministry of Land, Mines, and energy website.
Yeah.
They're still implementing the new Torrens land system, but you know the Torrens land system is a little different than what they have in the United States, the deed system, where you know everything is pretty much managed by the government. So like when you sell property or you record a lien, it's pretty much done by the government. There's not an outside title company, and it makes it easier for being a transfer title and everything else. but it costs more up front. It's a little bit more fee intensive up front, but over time it usually costs a little less. Long story short to that is, what should we be worried about with this in terms of my understanding? I've heard this from different sources that the Liberian government is basically exercising some type of eminent domain similar to what they do here in the United States, meaning that they're taking over land because, you know, they're switching to this new system. They're going out there and getting with the local leaders and everything else. They're trying to come up with a way to, you know, they're going to have to get a cartographer and a surveyor and all these different people to come in and figure out, you know, with, you know, the actual, you know, land lines and everything. What's the risk for someone like a Pastor Rogers, where he's been given his land by people? And some of them, like you said, some of them were illiterate. So they had to do different things to, you know, signify that they agree for them to do these land concessions. If you call there, are they going to have records of this? And do they have a computer system there at the Department of Landmines and Energy that will have records of who owns what? You know, that's probably one of the concerns I have right now, is that, like, even the land he bought, you know, he's got to go over there and get the deed, you know, get everything switched over, because the guy he was buying it from is a Liberian that lives in Charlotte, where I'm at. And so he was buying the land from them over the past 20 years. They have this vision of buying this land for him. So, I mean, what do you think about that? What are the risks there? You think it's a safe bet that, you know,
I think it's safe. You know, the government have implemented, you know, laws and procedures, you know, in government agencies. And even when let me give you a common example, like Republic Works, you know, in infrastructure, building houses, you know, before the Liberians had a habit of just building houses just anywhere. Now, you know, the government has strongly re-implemented the laws where, you know, things have to be done through Public Works. And Public Works, we have to, you know, certify any infrastructure before it can be built. And there are zoning laws, you know, and all of that. So what you want to do with that, I mean, it's completely safe. But it's just that you have to go about it the proper way. You know what I'm saying? You got to go through the proper channels. And I would encourage you to get in contact with this lady. Her name is Fatou Benima. She's the president of Global Ingenuity. She's a Liberian also. She did a couple of seminars in Atlanta, Georgia. She worked with the World Bank and a couple of other.
What's her name?
Fatou Benima. Right now, her company, what her company is doing right now is helping small business owners, Liberians, small business Liberians, you know, owners.
This is very important. I'm driving.
Yeah, she's.
Can you do me a favor? That's a very important piece of information.
You can find her on Facebook. Just look up Fatou Benima.
And what I was going to ask you to do is, do you have your dashboard open? You have your blog talk open?
Okay, what you could do is, to make it easier for you, you go to our page, go to Radio International page, Facebook page, and you will see her profile on our page, and then you can check up, you can get her information from there. It will lead you to her page. But what her company is doing now is helping Liberians that are interested in going to Liberia to invest. What her company does is, depending on the kind of business you want to do in Liberia, the kind of investment you want to do in Liberia, she can hook you up with the United Nations and a couple of other agencies that are funding these, that have special funds allocated to fund these projects in these countries with small business owners that are nationals of these countries and want to return to establish businesses to help the people and create jobs. So what she does is she presents your proposal, your format to these agencies, these like the United Nations and other agencies. She presents your format and try to get you a grant, a financial grant, to financially help your business.
Where you at? What state are you in?
I'm in Atlanta, Georgia.
Atlanta,
and also, what she Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay. No,
what she does also is she takes you through the process with the Liberian government, so that you go through a smooth and legal process where you don't get duped or everything goes through the proper channel. You get all your documentation and everything. So, I would suggest that if you want to do business in Liberia, that you get in contact with her and, inquire about her expertise, what they are doing in regards to what you are doing and what they can do in regards to what you are doing on your behalf, you know what I'm saying? And, if it's something that you want to work with, then you people can go from there. But I would strongly suggest that you look her up,
Fatua is Fatua Benima, Benima.
Her first name is Fatu, Fatu.
Okay.
And the last name is Widema, Gbedema. Widema.
Okay.
Fatu Widema. The G is silent.
Okay.
Yeah. She's the president of Global Ingenuity.
Global Ingenuity. Okay. Nice. This is always meant to be. I'll tell you, there's something in the air. Like, we've been, there's been a lot of momentum. I don't know, did you hear about the first Pan-African commerce function that took place in L.A. and at the University of California, Dominguez Hills in October? Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't.
Oh man, we gotta plug you in. We gotta get you in here, man. We got some stuff we're trying to do. I think we're gonna make a serious run at this. If you could do something for me, if you go on Blog Talk and send me a friend request of the Sincere 750, because I'm not gonna be like sitting near a computer anytime, because I'm driving to see my family. But
what is that again?
It's SENSERE 750. Like, you'll see a guy on my page. It's not me. That's actually Reginald Lewis, the first black billionaire. But if you see it, it's Sincere 750, and send me a friend request. And definitely, I need to get you in contact with Pastor Rogers. Like I said, the brother, is visionary, and we're doing some things over there. He's actually supposed to be going to Liberia. In either January or February to finalize the deeds, and then if this deal is finalized on this this trade deal we got, we're trying to go over there and buy more land and get some things going. So.
Okay. That sounds good. All right. Sounds good. I appreciate it.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm gonna make sure and send you that request, that friend request. You say that again. You say S-E-M?
S is what we spell for you phonetically. That's Sam Echo November.
Yeah.
Sam Echo,
yeah.
Romeo Echo,
uh-huh.
750.
Sam Echo
Nancy November, yes. Nancy, Sam, Echo, Romeo, Echo, 750. Sincere 750.
S-E-M-E 750?
S-E-M-S-E-R-E 750. Sincere 750.
Okay. Okay, I got you. I got you. And make sure you go to our Facebook. Make sure you go to our Facebook site on the Radio International site when you get home, so you can check up, get that info for Fatou Gbenema, because she will be very. I mean, you'll find it very rewarding to get in contact with her.
Yes.
I did a couple of interview with her on my show.
Oh,
and so she kind of made an awareness out there about, you know, what they were doing, helping Liberians that were interested in going back to Liberia to establish businesses. So, I mean, they have a kind of presentation that, you know, takes you through the legal aspect of it, and, you know, you have no fear, no problem at all.
Okay, great.
Hey, but I appreciate you calling. I know you're driving, man. Hey, Merry Christmas, you know. Have a blessed Christmas, and I wish you all the best in the new year, and make sure you keep in contact with us. And when you get home, make sure you get on our Radio International page and leave us a message also.
I sure will, man. I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome, man. You're welcome. Hey, you want to say give a shout out to anybody before you get off?
A shout out to all my family and friends and loved ones. I just want to say thank you, because it's, for some reason, something told me to tune in tonight. I usually blog talk and laugh, but I felt something told me to get on tonight, man. So I appreciate this information, because this is serious. Like, we really are getting a lot of momentum, a lot of support, and we need everyone, you know, because I said in Liberia needs us. I mean, African Americans don't understand the history of Liberia, and they don't understand how vital it is, you know, and this is Robert Johnson. I was a big fan of Robert Johnson, but after he said what he said, I got a whole different respect for that dude. He said, you know, African Americans need to support Liberia the same way the Jews support Israel.
Exactly. I appreciate it, my brother. I appreciate it. Hey, one love. Have a blessed one. Merry Christmas again, and all the blessings to you and your family, man. God bless you.
Thank you. You guys, Merry Christmas.
Drive safe right now. This is Radio Talk 101.3, and this is your host, Bismarck. Yeah, you heard that right here on Radio Talk 101.3. That's a positive Liberian right there, looking forward to doing big things in Liberia. You know, it's all about creating jobs, you know. Some people want to go to Liberia for selfish reasons, you know, like, there are a couple. You look at the member, those who are partaking in the presidential election right now. It puzzles me about, you know, what's going on and about the participants in the presidential race right now. You know, as a Liberian, I would say, you know, look, we have a saying: if it's not broken, don't try to fix it. This lady, you know, came in with the process of a government, you know, for the people, and she has been trying and doing her best. And Liberia is at a different stage right now. These so-called individuals, these individuals who are now running against this lady and propaganding the airway with all these rhetorics about how she shouldn't be president, she was member of the, she supported Charles Taylor and all of these things. These people that are saying these same things are guilty of exactly what they are saying to this lady.
Even Brumskin worked for Charles Taylor government. He was Charles Taylor's right-hand man. No telling what he did with Charles Taylor, who is now being prosecuted in international court. Huh? There he goes, running with George Weah, soccer ambassador George Weah, as vice president. I mean, I admire George Weah for his accomplishments, you know, his achievements in life, but I'll tell you one thing. The presidency or the vice presidency is too far-fetched for George Weah. If you want to take Liberia back another 100 years, then you can go ahead and elect those two, but mm-mm. We're going forward. You know, the presidency is not a game. This is not a joke. We're talking about our recognition in the world. We're talking about, you know, dealing with the problems in the world. The world is not the same anymore. We want people who know what they're doing, who knows how to face the world, how to approach the world, how to dialogue with the world, you know. Now, you got another candidate, T.Q. Harris, who went into Liberia and met with the president, said he's not an enemy, you know, but he's running in the presidential race, you know, to become president of Liberia, and making all these statements about the president of Liberia, Madam Ellen Johnson Sirleaf. This lady didn't tell Charles Taylor to do all the things he did. Why are you associating her with him now? Because you can find nothing else against her when it comes to the governance of the presidency of Liberia. You can find no fault in her governance, in her progress since she became president. The world is recognizing her. The world has recognized her for all her progress she has made and her governance as a lady. This lady is doing what all the men that were president of Liberia couldn't do or didn't do or didn't want to do. Here's a lady that implemented a form of government with check and balance, with accountability, with laws, with rules. There's no man above the law. This is what she's trying to do. But yet and still there are those elements in the midst that are so destructive and don't want to see this change, don't want to see growth. Come on. Come on. These people are looking at Liberia not as a country and a people, but as a bank. As a bank. It's all about enriching themselves, filling up their personal accounts for they and their families, having total power to themselves, saying what goes and what not. This is not a dictatorship we're running here. We don't want rulers. We want leaders. We want people who will be the voice of the people. Look at what's going on in the Ivory Coast today with Gbagbo. Why did they even allow him to rule this country for 10 years? Why did they even allow him to be president for 10 years? Now he wants to be president for life. What is going on with these people? This thing cannot be tolerated in Africa, nor can it be tolerated in the world anymore. We are eradicating all the rulers and bringing in leaders. We are eradicating corruption, poverty, and bringing in growth. Yeah, that's what we're doing. It's a new world with positivity for the people, for the people. Not that cryptic world they're trying to bring. You're listening to Radio Talk 101.3 with your host, Bismarck. You've been listening to the program, Let's Talk, and tonight was focused on Africa. we just got into the dialogue, and we took it off from there, and we just had to give it a break right now. But, hey, it's Christmas. Merry Christmas to you out there. You know, Merry Christmas to all our fans, friends, family around the world. All, you know, have a blessed Christmas. You know, it's the birthday of the Lord. Celebrate it in peace, love, and happiness. And show love to your fellow man. And be happy. And it's all about Jesus. It's not about us. Forget the materialistic things. Forget about the gifts and all of that. We shouldn't be giving gifts to ourselves. It's not about us. The gifts should be going to God. Let our mind, hearts be focused on Jesus tonight. He came into the world and tried to show the world love and to bring love and peace into the world among us. But yet and still the world persecuted him. Man, we persecuted him and killed him. He died for our sins. He died for us. He could have done anything. He's God. He could have escaped. I mean, he made us. He could have done anything, but yet and still he let himself die on the cross. Kill a man for no reason, for our own guilt. He died for us willingly to save us from eternal death, to give us life again, the chance of life again through repentance, and to be able to live in glory again with the Father from where we came. He said, I knew you before you knew yourself. Yes, he knew us before we knew ourselves. That means we existed with him before we came to earth in the flesh. So thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for us, for making us, for us being us. Thank you, Lord, because without you, there's no us. And happy birthday, Lord. You know. Merry Christmas. It's Bismarck right here on Radio Talk 101.3.
Africa, Africa, yeah, Africa, Africa, yeah, Africa, Africa, yeah, Africa, Africa, yeah, jumping up from Africa, listen now. Of Africa, we will love people and we will look to join their hands, hand in hand, to build this continent. We will look to join their minds, work together to build this continent.
Bismarck. We'll holler at you later. Peace.